Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
A full day of football to break down? Let's talk to the pros. Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Bench Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. Find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. It's the Sunday night recap show. I am back. Ooh. We got some excitement going on in the background already there, Pat, with doorbell. Is that what it is? And the doorbell ring. Anyway, it's Pat Fitzmaurice. We're back here on the Sunday night recap show. Pat, how are you?
Very well. Our guard dog, our vicious 28-pound golden doodle, was upset with someone ringing our doorbell. So,
yeah.
But it was a fun week six. And
it was weird. I don't know if it was because we had the byes finally, so it just felt like it was a little less hectic and I could more focus on every single game that was going on. But we had some big injuries, some craziness that happened. We had some backup running backs came through for everybody. It was an exciting day and a good lesson, I think. We'll talk about it more in the Waiver Wire show this week as to why you don't blow your fab necessarily early, because a lot of backup running backs this week, Darrell Williams, Khalil Herbert. They probably won you your week for the most part. So, you got to watch where you're going. But anyway, got a lot to get to. Let's get to all of it. First, let me remind you about our giveaway here that we are doing for October. Of course, it is the signed Justin Jefferson helmet. You know how to enter by now. Leave a review for the show on Apple Podcasts or CastBox, and then go to fantasypros.com/contest to enter. A subscription to our YouTube channel counts as 3 times the entry, so don't miss out. It's free, costs you nothing, and it's a Justin Jefferson signed helmet. Also, if you want to hear more of my thoughts, either today, if it's Monday, if you're listening to this, or any day this week, just subscribe to the podcast, The Kickoff. That is me every day, 10 to 15 minutes, breaking down my thoughts. Today will be my 5 biggest takeaways. Next day will be Waiver Wire, a lot of stuff where I'm giving you how I'm looking at players and what I'm looking at for pickups. But Pat, are you ready to get into it now? I know you were here with Joe. It was a downgrade. You're ready to get back to normal. Are you ready to go here?
Let's roll, Dan.
We've got a lot of trust or bust, Pat. We've got 3 names, and let's start with Kenyon Drake. So Kenyon Drake, 6 touches. So not exactly an overwhelming workload here, but he does the most with it. 4 for 34 with a touchdown on the ground, plus catches both of his targets, 39 yards and a score through the air. Some people might be thinking, look, new regime. It's going to be a Kenyon Drake time. But for you, Pat, trust or bust Kenyon Drake going forward?
I'm going to say bust. Still a relatively subdued role compared to Josh Jacobs. And it's nice to see that the new regime is giving him a chance at least, but I don't think we're going to be considering using him in our lineups anytime soon.
Yes, that is the correct answer. There's just no way. Again, it was exciting. And when I'm watching it, I'm looking through a bunch of things. I was like, wow, he must be really involved. Maybe this is more of like a 50-50 split, but Jacobs dominated the time in the game. So I agree with you. It's a bust. Still good to see for anybody, for the 2 managers, probably both of them members of Kenyon Drake's family who are still starting him most weeks. T.Y. Hilton, next up, trust or bust. He returns here against the Texans. Pretty impressive. Only 4 targets, but he catches all of them. 80 yards. Now, he does leave late with, I believe, a quad injury. So we'll obviously have to monitor that. But assuming that he is healthy going forward, trust or bust T.Y. Hilton?
Yeah, injury pending a modified trust, I would say. He looked good. He looked sort of like the old T.Y. Hilton. And the one we saw down the stretch, it was pretty good in the final six games of 2020. So, tentative trust. I think he's a guy you might consider for, your third wide receiver spot or perhaps a flex spot, especially with the buys, staying with us for the next several weeks.
Yeah. Well, next week, everybody's on bye, so everybody is a potential wide receiver three at this point. Yes. Not Indianapolis, though. They do play San Francisco next week. Well, let me ask you something, Pat. I won't hold you to it because we're just reacting to this as it comes in. But assuming that T.Y. Hilton is fully healthy, it was a cramp. I feel totally fine 100%. Do you think T.Y. Hilton or Michael Pittman Jr. rest of season?
Oh, man, I would say Pittman still, although the Hilton return apparently does mess with the breakout season of Michael Pittman, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was definitely a down game for him in this one, and we will get to it, but it kind of a weird game. Paris Campbell caught a touchdown. He also left with an injury, by the way. Last one here, Pat, Donovan Peoples-Jones. That game, we could spend the whole podcast if you want, just breaking down that game, but 5 targets, 4 catches, 101 yards, and 2 touchdowns. One of them, of course, at the end of the half, a Hail Mary, which he just went up and got, but trust or bust here, Donovan Peoples-Jones.
I'm going to say bust. We just haven't really seen him sustain it. We know that this is a team that wants to run the ball and has offered very little of value in the receiving game. So I just don't think we can trust it in a big way.
Yeah, that's for sure. And also Baker, obviously, it sounds like he's going to be able to play through this thing. He left, he came back, he redislocated his left shoulder. It's his non-throwing shoulder. They have a Thursday night game, though, now. I'm a little worried right now about what we're going to see out of that team. But I agree with you. Regardless, you cannot trust certainly Donovan Peoples-Jones. All right. I had Joe skip this last week, Pat, just because I have our thing with our rest of season rankings. I'll put it here. I said, I don't want to put you on the spot. It's a very, very difficult segment. But now I am back. I'm ready to torture you. And let us get to I am confused by your opinion, sir. I'm confused by your opinion on Myles Gaskin. So he has the big game last week against the Bucks, where nobody in the world was starting him. Enough for you, Pat, to rank him. This is rest of season rankings, by the way, because I ranked him as a borderline starter this week, too. I'm sure most people did because it was such a good matchup. But you, Pat, rest of season, moved him up to 27th in your running back rankings. That was sort of somebody you're like, okay, I feel like this guy's going to be a startable flex pretty much going forward. But 5 for 9 on the ground, he gets 6 targets, catches just 2 of them for 5 yards through the air. You got to be dropping him hard, right, in your rest of season rankings.
Yeah, this is just such a frustrating situation. And as if you're not punishing me enough here, Dan, I spent major fab money on him in a league where he was available, started him this week, and was rewarded with that fine, 2-point output. So this is really frustrating. It's just, We can't tell if they are favoring Gaskin or going full-blown committee in any given week. And 2 out of the last 3, it's been full-blown committee. So that was definitely a head fake we got from the Dolphins last week with the enhanced Myles Gaskin usage. And it's going to be really hard to trust anything about this backfield going forward.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And the bottom line is this. He got off to a bad start in the game in that he fumbled. He didn't lose it, but he did fumble. And then he just dropped a pass. And I wonder whether or not they looked at that and said, okay, you're out. And it's sort of like the pre-Leonard Fournette cementing himself in this role, as we hope, completely solidifying a role in that backfield, or whether it is the Bucks pre this, you drop a pass, you lose a fumble, you're on the bench. We're putting in the next guy up. And regardless of what it is, or if it's really that they just don't have one, you can't trust Myles Gaskin. Like, there's just no way. Like, maybe in this matchup with bye weeks, okay, I could understand it. I did too. But going forward, absolutely not. Fine to keep him rostered. Maybe something changes, but there's no way you can think about starting him. A guy who you can think about starting, and who I am confused about your opinion, sir, is Kirk Cousins. Now, I know there's not a lot of difference when you're ranking Cousins, 12th, like I had him, 18th where you had him. It's not crazy when you're in that range. Everybody's sort of right around there, but still 18th rest of season. That's sort of a guy who's like a pure only streaming in the absolute right matchup. But again, he comes through here in this game, 373 yards and 3 touchdowns. So 18th rest of season coming in. Do you think you'll be moving him up now after this week?
I think, Dan, I should probably have him at either 16 or 17, or best of all, 16.5, because I think Kirk Cousins is the perfectly average NFL starting quarterback. And there are going to be weeks where we will say, Kirk Cousins stinks, man. His bad weeks. He is terrible, yeah. Which, you know, it seems to be anytime there's a big game for the Vikings or whichever team he's playing on is usually when he turns in one of those clunkers. And there's times like today when he looks fantastic. And the two extremes sort of balance out in the end, Dan. I mean, I think he is the perfectly average starting quarterback in the NFL, the perfectly average fantasy quarterback. So 18 is probably just a smidge too low for him. Yes.
Okay. What I love about this, Pat, is I think this is the first time you've really stood your ground. I mean, Tags used to basically tell me I'm an idiot and he's just holding firm whatever I said. Why are you ranking this guy? You'd be like, because that's the right way to rank him. You've always been like, all right, maybe I'm a little too low. You're right. But you're like, nah, no good, which is fine. Go ahead. Do you want to say something?
You're good at finding my weak spots, Dan. What can I say?
Yeah, well, he's got, you know, he still has a relatively decent schedule. Now he has a bye, obviously. Then Dallas, Baltimore, Chargers, Green Bay, San Francisco, Detroit. I mean, it's a mixed bag, and he is a streamer, generally speaking. So is everybody in that range, really, when you think about it. So either way, I'm not gonna you know, kill you for it in that sense. I get it. I am a guy who probably leans towards starting Cousins a little bit more. Let me ask you, a guy who was higher on him in your rest of season rankings, obviously you just stream regardless. But generally speaking, rest of season, you have to start one of these guys every single week going forward. Is it Kirk Cousins or is it Sam Darnold?
I'm going to stick with Sam on that one. Just we saw more of the aggressive running from Sam today. And I think maybe that's the difference there. And yeah, we'll talk more about that game. That was an interesting game. So we can discuss Sam's performance in depth a little bit more soon here.
All right, let's save it for that. Let's instead go to London, where we can talk about Urban Meyer getting his first win here. Jaguars 23, Dolphins 20. This is what we want from the passing game against an admittedly depleted secondary here. Marvin Jones and Laviska Shenault both see 10 targets. Jones hauls in 7 of them for 100 yards in the score. Shenault, 6 of them for 54 yards. So how do you feel about both these wide receivers going forward?
Yeah, well, you mentioned it, that no Xavien Howard, no Byron Jones for the Dolphins, which was big. So we wanted these guys to eat. I feel pretty good about Jones going forward. And, you know, maybe it does help that Chark isn't around anymore, that he is the primary, you know, deep targets for Trevor Lawrence now. I feel a little less positive about Laviska, that he once again really wasn't able to cash in on those 10 targets. It's just the short area usage is just sort of limiting his weekly ceiling, and we're just not really seeing him pop. So a guy who, you know, maybe can slot in as your third wide receiver or flex, but I mean, I think Viska is going to be the subject of many a start sit question in the weeks to come. Cause like he's worth considering, but like he just never gives you that big game you need to feel really confident about using him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, again, you're right. The targets are great to see, but the fact that he didn't produce in this game, really, I mean, again, 54 yards, given the depleted secondary, as we said, is disappointing. Jones is a guy who I feel like, Pat, do you ever have these guys who you rank who you just don't know? Like, you always feel like you're a little bit wrong. It's like you're a fantasy manager and you make your start sit decision. Every time you want to start a guy, he does nothing. Every time you sit a guy, he goes off. I feel like that's me when I rank Marvin Jones right now, where I just don't have him for whatever reason. So I'm just leaving him in my lineup from now on going forward. Meanwhile, James Robinson with 100% of the running back touches, 17 for 73 on the ground with a touchdown, 4 targets, 3 catches, 28 yards through the air, just a locked in RB1 going forward, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Very good. Not much to discuss, but for the Dolphins, Tua does return here. He attempts 47 passes. I'm not sure that was in the original game plan. He completes 33 of them, 329 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. He adds 22 yards rushing. The two big producers here were Mike Gesicki, who, again, has kind of just become a guy who you can just roll with going forward instead of finding a streamer. 9 targets, 8 catches, 115 yards. But Jaylen Waddle, the big guy here, 13 targets, 10 catches, 70 yards, and 2 touchdowns. His ADOT goes way up when you get Jacoby Brissett out of there. So do you think this is a sign of things for come to for Jaylen Waddle?
Yeah, good that he gets to work with Tua again. And it will be interesting to see what happens when we get the return of Devontae Parker and Will Fuller. But I think there's a decent chance that Waddle continues to be the most valuable wide receiver in this receiving core. And as you mentioned, Gesicki, I mean, he's knocking at the door with those elite tight ends. Like, he's very close to being considered with those guys. And maybe he's more valuable than TJ Hockenson at this point.
Yeah, although Hockenson, to be fair, had a good game here in this matchup. I'm trying to check where you and I had him ranked. Rest of season. Ooh, we were both low on him, Pat. I didn't realize this, actually. We both had him 14th rest of season. So this is something where I'm in agreement with you, by the way. He's going to move way up for you in your rest of season rankings,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Me as well. And again, we'll see what it looks like when everyone is healthy. But, you know, they don't have a bye next week, by the way. Yeah, I saw you tweeted that out, which I noticed as well. Wait, is this the first time I've ever seen a team off a London game and not have a bye?
What? Yeah, I asked what the reasoning was for, and apparently the Dolphins elected not to take their bye. That is their choice, and they declined the bye after the London game, which gotta wonder how they're going to come out next week if they're a little bit flat, a little bit jet lagged. So,
And watching Brian Flores walk off the field after that loss, I felt sorry for what the team's going to have to deal with in the locker room. He did not look pleased. All right, before we get to our next game, let's remember, even if you lost this week, you guys know that fantasy is amazing, but fantasy props are really when you get to take your fantasy game to the next level. Yates and I do it basically every week with the over-under challenge over at fantasybros.com/challenge. You can do it there, but you can also do it at Prize Picks. You turn your fantasy knowledge into cold, hard cash. All you do is you pick 2 to 5 players. You decide if they're going to go over or under their stat projections. You can choose from any number of stat projections, by the way. They've got yards or receptions, touchdowns. You can even do fantasy points if you want. The more players you pick, the more money you can win, up to 10 times the amount that you wager. And you can do multi-sport entries if you want. Basketball is starting up, of course. You've got MMA. You can do whatever you want. Make your entries in less than a minute. 4.8 rating in the App Store. Take your game to a new level with Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Simplified. Use our promo code GRIDIRON. You get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code GRIDIRON to receive 100% deposit match for up to $100. Okay, let's return to the United States here and get to the Packers 24, Bears 14, a game I'm sure you watch pretty closely. Aaron Jones, 13 for 76 on the ground, plus caught all 4 of his targets for 34 yards and a score through the air. But I actually want to talk about A.J. Dillon briefly. 11 carries for 59 yards. He doesn't factor into the passing game for the first time in a couple of games, which is, by the way, surprising since he was never a pass-catching back in college anyway. But now he's got 16, 12, and 11 touches in the last 3 games. Do you think this is a guy that fantasy managers can start as a flex rest of season?
I don't think generally that's going to be the case. Like, I think that would be a tough ask of Dillon to be good enough to play that sort of role. I don't think he's a starter right now. He's got a little bit of standalone value maybe during bye weeks, but they've just been a little run heavier lately, and game script has allowed them to do that. I think today they had 31 runs and 23 passes, although some of the runs were Aaron Rodgers scrambles that were intended to be passes. But still, when you're pretty close to that 50-50 balance, then you're going to be able to support 2 running backs. I don't know if it's going to be that way forevermore for the Packers the rest of the season. So I don't think he's quite in that comfortable start range.
Yeah, I have him ranked. I mean, I was a little higher on him rest of the season. I'm 36th. You had him 44th, I believe. So I'm a little more optimistic that you can get away with him as a flex in deeper leagues if you need to. And of course, he maintains the high-end insurance policy value. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers still owns the Bears, as everybody now knows. 195 yards, 2 touchdowns through the air. He adds that rushing touchdown. Meanwhile, Devontae Adams, 5 targets, 4 catches, 89 yards. Alan Lazard, 5 targets, 3 catches, 27 yards with the touchdown. Not really sure there's much else to discuss here with the Packers, Pat, unless you disagree.
Yeah, we had talked about this, I think, Joe and I last week. There's really no one to trust in this receiving core other than Devontae Adams. I mean, Randall Cobb wasn't targeted at all today. You know, Equanimeous St. Brown was, he had a touchdown overruled on kind of a dubious offensive pass interference call.
Yeah.
Lazard just happened to be the number two guy who popped a little bit today, but there's just no value there. And getting back to the Dylan thing, Dan, the other thing is just his not really consistent involvement in the passing game, I'll say.
That's true.
Like, he's shown that he can do that. It is a skill that he does have, but he's just not going to get more than, you know, one or two targets most weeks.
No, and I agree with that. And that's why the last few weeks have been surprising to me, because you just never thought that that could be his role. But look, when I see a guy in a great offense getting double digit touches 3 weeks in a row, it's something that at least makes me think, okay, if I'm out there sort of thinking about Myles Gaskin, for example, Pat, right? Like, I'll take the AJ Dillon, you know, that's sort of where I come out on it. But let's go to the Chicago side of the ball here. If you gambled on Khalil Herbert, you are happy. 21 total touches, 112 total yards with the score. I guess I don't really think it's worth going into necessarily, because I assume Damian Williams is going to be coming back here after, you know, having the positive COVID. I guess when Williams comes back, do you think these two guys are going to basically split work until we've got Dave Montgomery coming back?
I do. I think Herbert might have a little bit of an edge, actually. It was kind of interesting the way they used the backs last week. Like, it started with Damian Williams dominating work early, but then in the second half, it was more Herbert. And it seemed like there was something they liked out of him a little bit more as that game went on in week five. And, you know, we saw Herbert play pretty well today. Like, he looked good. So I would not be surprised to see him get a little bit more run than Williams next week, if Damian is in fact back.
That's true. I mean, it's not a guarantee, because he did have a positive test. That's obviously something depending on, you know, he needs a negative test to be able to come back. So it's certainly not a guarantee. And this is not a, I'm confused by your opinion, sir, Pat, but I'm just going to come out and say, as much as he played probably better than he has maybe ever in the NFL right now, I still think you need to move Fields, Justin Fields, down your rest of season rankings. You have him at 17th. So that's like sort of in the Kirk Cousins range, which is fine. But, you know, he's uneven on, even on his best day, 16 for 27, a touchdown with a pick. He was sacked four times. He adds in, you know, the 40 yards rushing or whatever. But it is something, Pat, where I don't really feel comfortable necessarily even streaming him ever in a good matchup. We can get there, but I want to ask about the pass catchers. You can touch on Fields if you want. But the pass catchers, I want to know just generally, like, how are you feeling about these guys? Allen Robinson, 7 targets, 4 catches, 53 yards. Darnell Mooney, 8 targets, 5 catches, 45 yards. He does find the end zone, of course. Cole Kmet, 5 targets, 4 catches, 49 yards. I mean, are you comfortable, or do you think we should be starting any of these guys with regularity?
I think it's come time, Dan, that I have to move Mooney ahead of Allen Robinson in the rankings on a weekly basis. I just think that Fields clicks a little bit better with Mooney than he does with Robinson. It was good to see Robinson get involved. I think most weeks you're not probably going to be playing Robinson at all if you have better options. Right. I mean, unless you're, which is weird, because I mean, second or third round pick in a lot of leagues, fourth round pick at worst. It's just strange that he's been so uninvolved, and they even ramped up the passing volume a little bit this week. It's going to be interesting though next week, Dan, because they play the Buccaneers, and that is a team where trying to run on the Bucs is like just, you know, beating your head against a wall. And like, do they really let Fields turn him loose next week? And, you know, do we see these wide receivers possibly take advantage of the Buccaneers cornerbacks, which are like the weak link in their defense? So yeah, I can't wait to see if they actually do that. I mean, I think next week, both of these guys are perhaps playable, but most weeks, maybe you're avoiding it if you can. I don't know. I feel okay with Mooney in the lineup any given week, as long as he's like your flex guy or your last wide receiver. But
yeah,
it's been tough with A-Rob. Like, even today, when it looked like it was going to be a good game early, it just kind of fizzled out at the end. And like, even when the Bears were in must throw mode, he wasn't really looking at Allen Robinson much at all.
So in my I do the trade chart for Fantasy Pros, and I usually have like an arbitrary cutoff of roughly 50 wide receivers, because I feel like once you're past that, the wide receivers, you're probably not giving up anything for a trade. And somebody wrote on Twitter to me and Joe and said, hey, what happened to Allen Robinson? Why isn't he on the trade chart? And Joe responded immediately without really thinking about it, being like, oh, that's probably just an oversight. And I responded, I was like, it's not an oversight. He is outside of my top 50 receivers going forward, and I would not trade anything for him under any circumstances because I think this is it. And I think you're right. I mean, both he and Mooney were outside of that range. It was, I think Robinson was 51, Mooney was 54. You're a little higher on both, but not significantly, Pat. Like, you're mid-40s on both coming in. I think at this point, though, I am going to swap them because I do think that if I am forced to start one of them, it is Mooney, who is closer to a guy who I can get away with as a flex than Robinson, who I'm in agreement with you, Pat. I just don't see it here right now with Fields at all. He has a preference for Mooney, it seems like. And whatever, if Mooney fits his skill set better, I don't know what it is. But yeah, Robinson has overcome every sort of mediocre quarterback performance that he's ever seen in the past, but I don't think he's going to be able to overcome this one.
Yeah, I'll just one thing to add. I had Dave Kluge of Football Guys on my podcast this week, a Bears fan, and he thinks that maybe it's that you get a little bit more separation with Mooney as the wide receiver. It's like, it's a different kind of thing. It's a guy using his speed to get cushion versus a guy who's kind of a timing guy with Robinson, and he thinks that maybe that just fits Fields, maybe, you know, as a see it, throw it rookie right now, like a guy who doesn't really, you know, throw receivers open yet. Maybe that'll change over time, but it seems like, you know, that where Fields is right now with his game, he does seem to just mesh better with Mooney at this point.
I mean, I think we saw last year from Tua, right? We saw that he doesn't like throwing it into tight windows. He doesn't like it. He wants a guy to be fully wide open. And I think you see that with a lot of rookie quarterbacks. So it's a fair point by Kluge, friend of the program here. Let's go on to the Bengals 34, Lions 11. Joe Mixon, really, finally, Pat. Fantasy managers were like, can we just get the Joe Mixon game? Can we get the game that makes me feel like, okay, I drafted you as an RB1. Thank you for showing why. This was at 18 for 94 on the ground. 6 targets, 5 catches, 59 yards, and a touchdown through the air. Without Samaje Perine, Chris Evans also steps up, 67 total yards and a score. Meanwhile, Joe Burrow, want to more focus on the receivers here. Burrow throws for 271 yards and 3 touchdowns, one each to Mixon and Evans, as we said. The other to CJ Uzama, catches all 3 of his targets, just 15 yards and a touchdown. Auden Tate also catches a touchdown from Brandon Allen's lone pass attempt here. Meanwhile, though, Ja'Marr Chase, he continues his excellent season. 6 targets, 4 catches, 97 yards. But now we've got all 3 of these guys healthy. We've got a matchup they should dominate. T. Higgins, 6 targets, 3 catches, 44 yards. Tyler Boyd, 3 targets, 1 catch, 7 yards. So what are your thoughts here on this Bengals wide receiving core?
I'm still confident in Higgins. I think he still deserves to be started every week, and I think he's going to have his good games. I'm much more worried about Tyler Boyd, Dan. Like, I don't think he's really playable most weeks anymore. So he had, in the 2 games that T. Higgins missed, 4 catches, 36 yards, 1 touchdown, 9 catches, 118 yards, no touchdowns. So 2 pretty good weeks there. In the 4 games that T. Higgins has played, Tyler Boyd's averaging 34 yards. 34 yards. And I think 15 catches in those 4 games. So, yeah. Man, I mean, he is the odd man out when all 3 of those guys are healthy, Dan. It's frustrating because, you know, we think the narrative with Burrow is that he loves his slot guy. You know,
right.
That he just got the big season out of Justin Jefferson when he was the slot guy. And it's just not happening for Boyd this year when Chase and Higgins are both healthy. And unfortunate.
So, ballpark it for me. You and I both had him at exactly wide receiver 37 in our rest of season rankings. Ballpark it for me. I won't hold you to it. Where do you think he's falling rest of season?
Allen Robinson territory.
Ooh, okay. That is a perfect answer, actually. I'm not sure. I need to dig into it a little bit. I need to go back and look through everything. But I agree. And a couple of weeks ago, I listed Boyd as, you know, we do the future pros where we all give our answers very quick. Who's your sell high candidate? It was Boyd for me, because Boyd was a guy who I said, you know, once everybody is healthy, it's very unclear at best. At worst, it's clear that we're not going to see him come in here because, of course, Chase has taken on such a huge role. Of course, Higgins is also an alpha in this offense. So, yeah, I agree with you. It's a good point. Allen Robinson territory this year, at least, is not where you want to be. For the Lions, the offense, just ugly. I mean, overall, I mean, DeAndre Swift, you know, comes through from a fantasy standpoint, only 13 for 24 on the ground. He does find the end zone here, but he does have 7 targets, 5 catches, 43 yards. Do you still feel confident in him as an RB1? You had him ranked 11th in your rest of season rankings coming in.
I do. Back end RB1. And I think we're going to see again that the trend of him getting significantly more snaps than Jamal Williams held up again. I think it's pretty much like a 2/3 to 1/3 type of ratio. And I think that was true again today. Like, we didn't see Jamal do much of anything.
Correct. And I do want to ask you then, because Pat, kudos to you. I mean, you had him much lower than I did in our rest of season rankings. You had him 40th, Jamal Williams, already. I had him much higher than that, 31st or something like that. So, you know, another day where he doesn't get that many snaps, 4 for 11 on the ground, 1 catch for -2 yards. Is Jamal Williams droppable for you at this point?
I think he is. And it's the lack of usage in the passing game the last few weeks that's been really alarming, because I don't think we're going to see on this team that is not going to get many run-friendly game scripts. If you're a run-only running back, I mean, on the Lions, where is the value in that? And I think Jamal has been averaging basically like 1 target a game for the last 4 weeks. So if he's not catching passes, he's got very little value.
Yeah. And what's weird, I mean, again, he caught passes in Green Bay and he started out catching passes as well, along with DeAndre Swift. But now that's just kind of been an afterthought. And I'm in agreement with you. I will be dropping him significantly in my rest of season rankings. TJ Hockenson, we alluded to, again, battles through the knee injury as he continues to do. He does see 11 targets, 8 catches, 74 yards. Very quickly, Amon-Ra St. Brown, disappointing here. People were excited because, again, he's basically the only guy left standing in that receiving core. 7 targets, 5 catches, 26 yards. Very quickly, what are your thoughts here on Amon-Ra St. Brown?
So he had had 8 targets in each of the 2 previous weeks. So I that's kind of his level that he's getting them. But 7 or 8 targets when the targets are short area targets are not going to be as valuable. And this offense is just kind of a pop gun attack right now. I think they've gone scoreless in the first half in 3 out of their last 4 games. I can't even get excited about the Jared Goff revenge game against the Rams next week, Dan.
Hey, man, it's football. We can get excited about anything, okay? As a Jets fan, you can talk yourself into anything, I can tell you. All right, before we get to our next game, let's talk very briefly about Kraken, because everybody's investing right now in cryptocurrencies. You may want to, you may not know where to get started. Where you get started is, in fact, the Kraken app. With Kraken, you can buy and sell over 50 of the most popular cryptos like Bitcoin and Dogecoin, a ton more. You can do it whenever you want, 24/7. Super easy to get started, by the way. Download the app, you create your account, and you are investing in a couple of minutes. And if you want to dip your toes into the water, that is really where you want to start with Kraken, right? If you're just like, I don't know, I want to see what it's about, Kraken is perfect for you, because Bitcoin right now is worth roughly, what, $40,000-$50,000. You can buy as little as $10 if you want when you're on Kraken. Find out for yourself why Kraken has been one of the highest rated places to buy crypto for the last 10 years. Visit kraken.com/fantasypros now to learn more, or search for Kraken in the App Store. All right, let's get to the Colts 31, Texans 3. Jonathan Taylor is good at football, 14 for 145 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. He has a catch for 13 yards. Carson Wentz is fine. A lot of people, Pat, were like, I need to start Wentz. The matchup. He was fine. I don't know why people were freaking out about him. 223 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. One is the 51-yard catch by Paris Campbell, who left with a foot injury. One is a 28-yard touchdown catch by Mo Alie-Cox. We talked about T.Y. Hilton. We talked about Michael Pittman Jr., but let's add on that a little bit. 3 targets only, 2 catches for 35 yards. Now, Wentz didn't attempt a crazy amount of passes here. They were way ahead and everything like that. But assuming that T.Y. Hilton is healthy, sounds like you do have a little bit of concern about Pittman here going forward.
A little bit, yes. Hilton closes the gap between the two of them. I think I'm still going to have Pittman as the highest rated guy, as mentioned earlier, but it's not going to be that far ahead of Hilton. Just frustrating, because we were seeing Pittman get targets downfield in previous weeks. I don't know if that's going to change now that, Hilton's always been sort of this lid lifter, a guy who, can really take the top off a defense and connect on some deeper ones. And, is Pittman going to lose some of those downfield targets that are so valuable? So maybe if Campbell has an injury that keeps him out for a while, that might help the target counts with both guys, but yet to be seen.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I was higher on Pittman going forward. I mean, I'd moved him all the way up to rest of season 28th because I had started to finally buy into it after Yates texts me every single day asking me if I've moved Pittman up enough. So finally now I'm like, got to pull it back a little bit. But I agree with you. I have slight concerns right now. Again, the injury concerns are really a huge deal right now. So we have to see where those end up. For the Texans, we rely on one guy. His name is Brandon Cooks. And he comes through for us here, 13 targets, 9 catches, 89 yards, no touchdown or anything, but it's fine. Meanwhile, in a game the Texans lose by 28 points, Mark Ingram somehow manages 17 carries for 73 yards. He also adds 2 catches for 8 yards. Do you care at all about a Texans running back, or do we just completely ignore it?
We ignore it, but it was admirable the way they were trying to establish the run in the fourth quarter down that many scores. So
you got to stick to your resolve, man. Yes. That's what it's about. Anybody else on the Texans you want to talk about? I mean, Nico Collins returned 44 yards, anything like that, or move on?
Nico's interesting for dynasty, but not for redraft.
Good enough for me. Rams 38, Giants 11. I mean, the poor Giants. Kadarius Toney leaves with the ankle injury very early on. It looked like this was going to be a ginormous game. I mean, he looked fantastic. He started out huge, 3 targets, caught all of them for 36 yards. Ankle injury, that's it. I haven't seen anything on the severity of it, but obviously he was battling it coming in, so we'll have to see. And then they had all the injuries on the offensive line. Andrew Thomas left, Nate Solder left. So the bad Daniel Jones shows up here, 29 for 51, 242 yards, and 3 interceptions. And with Darius Slayton out, with Kadarius Toney out, with Kenny Galladay out, it is all Sterling Shepard, 14 targets, 10 catches, and 76 yards. And, of course, the ghost of Dante Pettis returns, 11 targets, 5 catches, 48 yards. So, I mean, Pat, next week is the bye week, right? I think we've got, 6 teams on bye next week. So you have to be optimistic right now on Sterling Shepard's outlook against Carolina in a one-week thing, right?
Yeah, assuming that Tony is probably going to miss next week, I would think.
Yeah.
Should be a big target load for Shepard yet again. And you said it, the ghost of Dante Pettis. When you're giving 11 targets to Dante Pettis, and like the poor Giants, I mean, their cupboard was quite stocked at wide receiver.
I know.
And they are forced to run out Dante Pettis and give him 11 targets. It's kind of sad.
I know, and their offensive line is visible. And they don't have Saquon Barkley. So, I mean, let's assume that Saquon Barkley is not ready next week. I don't expect him necessarily to be ready. Devontae Booker here, not terrible. I mean, 12 for 41 on the ground, not great. He does add 4 catches for 28 yards through the air. So in a half PPR league, in a full PPR league, you're not dying. If you roster Booker and you assume Saquon's not going to be back next week, how do you feel about him after this game?
Yeah, it was kind of frustrating that you had all these guys who these backups ascending to featured roles this week. Khalil Herbert, Darrell Williams, Chuba Hubbard back in that role. And most of them popped. I mean, Hubbard was just sort of solid, but Herbert, nice game. Darrell Williams, smash game. Yep. And Booker was the one guy who was just sort of meh. And so I don't think you're feeling real good about him next week, but with the volume, he's still going to be in RB2 range, maybe lower RB2, but I think you're probably playing him if you have him next week.
Yeah. I mean, look, it wasn't the worst matchup of all time because, you know, the Rams are kind of susceptible, pardon me, to running backs a little bit at least. But again, they were just so decimated and their offensive line with the injuries, it's just terrible. Now, again, they get Carolina next week. So, you know, Carolina's a pretty strong defense, but certainly it is something where he might be the only game in town at this point on that team going forward. Meanwhile, for the Rams, Pat, I feel like when we've talked, you're just not that into Darrell Henderson, generally speaking, like 18th in your rest of season rankings, 21 for 78 with a touchdown on the ground. 2 catches for 29 yards and a touchdown through the air. I mean, just general thoughts right here, because I have him basically as a borderline RB1 going forward. Are you going to move him up to that spot or still a little reticent?
Yes, you found my Achilles yet again, Dan. I'm going to move him up for sure. The usage in recent weeks has just been so encouraging. And even though there weren't a lot of targets today, it was nice to see that one of them was that downfield, I think it was a wheel route where he got the touchdown.
Yep.
Yeah, and just dominating carries until it was out of reach. And then they, you know, stuck Sony Michel in for some token work at the end of the game. But I mean, this is Henderson's backfield. Yep. And you know, he's had some trouble staying healthy over the years. Hopefully he can maintain his good health, because he looks fantastic and the Rams are giving him all the work he can handle.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that Michelle didn't get more work in a game that they were well ahead. I mean, one of the props that I advocated for was under on his 17 and a half rushing attempts, because I thought that Michelle would factor in the way that Sean McVay has been saying. But yeah, right now there's no reason to doubt Daryl Henderson whatsoever. There's no reason to doubt Matthew Stafford or Cooper Kupp either. Stafford, 22 for 28, 251 yards, 4 touchdowns. Cooper Kupp, 12 targets, 9 catches, 130 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Meanwhile, what about Robert Woods? He does catch a touchdown pass, but just 5 targets, 2 catches, 31 yards. Again, they were way ahead, so whatever. But are you encouraged by the fact that he caught a touchdown pass? Are you discouraged by the lack of targets or receptions, or are you just basically where you were?
I'm pretty much where I was with we know that the gap has grown between Kupp and Woods this year, and I think it's going to be that way pretty much all season. Woods will occasionally show up, but yeah, I mean, it was the early touchdown this week and then not much else. So I think he's probably out of wide receiver 2 range and solid wide receiver 3, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think borderline wide receiver 2 basically is where I usually have him ranked. And that's probably about where I'll continue, because I feel like once you do get to that range, it's never that consistent anyway, right? Like you've got like for me, the Tyler Lockett's and the Cortland Sutton's, the Devontae Smith's, people like that, where you never really know. Let's get to Chiefs 31, Washington 13. You live by the streaming quarterback, you die by the streaming quarterback. Taylor Heinicke, 24 for 39, just 187 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Everybody kind of fails here, Pat, for Washington. This was a game that, you know, everybody wanted to attack. Terry McLaurin, who was obviously a little banged up with the hamstring coming in, 8 targets, just 4 catches, 28 yards. Antonio Gibson, 10 for 44 on the ground. He lost the fumble. He was in and out of this game. I mean, your two best players in this game for Washington are J.D. McKissic, who totaled 110 yards on 16 touches, and Ricky Seals-Jones, who had 6 targets, 4 catches, and 58 yards. Is this just a terrible day at the office for the Washington football team, or do you have real long-term concerns with any of these guys?
I'm a little nervous about the obsession with J.D. McKissic and what it does to Gibson. It's very frustrating that Gibson gets so little usage as a pass catcher. And plus the health issue, you know, it was a calf or shin injury. And then did he add the calf injury to someone said, I heard one report say that he aggravated the injury and another one that maybe it was a different thing. A calf injury.
Yeah. I didn't see the calf. I may have missed it. Somebody in our chat, people are here with us on youtube.com/fantasypros. You should be too. Live streaming, they can comment if it was a calf. I thought it was just his shin that he was in and out a little bit. And again, the reports are that he has a stress fracture in that shin, which as much as he's like, okay, the offensive coordinator says he's not even limited. Like, that is a concern long-term going forward. I would have sold high after last week, but I'm concerned about this, Pat, certainly for the long-term health of what we're going to see here from Antonio Gibson. I'll see whether or not it's a new injury, but I am a little concerned. What about McLaurin here? He, you know, again, he's been a little inconsistent. Are you concerned at all about him?
Not really. There was one missed deep connection that was really close, just a matter of timing. I mean, maybe we do have to get a little bit eager about the return of Ryan Fitzpatrick, because I don't know if Heinicke is going to be holding the job once Fitz is ready to roll, which should be fairly soon here.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, it very frustrating for managers who have McLaurin, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I'm sorry to everybody who I told to start him today, because they were like, I'm worried. And I was like, stop being worried. Go out and start him. It's always a terrible feeling when you're watching games. And I have no shares of Terry McLaurin, and still it was very harmful to me.
Oh, for the Chiefs. Can I add, Dan?
Of course.
Ricky Seals-Jones.
Yeah.
Almost on the cusp of tight end one territory for as long as Logan Thomas is out.
Do we have the reason, by the way, I didn't go into that is because do we have a timeline yet on Thomas here for the injury?
Not that I'm aware of. Like, I think it's going to be another week or two at least.
Yeah. I mean, he did. He had the big touchdown catch here. And again, he was a good streamer this week. I mean, I assume that, like, I did, like, I ranked him as a tight end one. He was a guy who you could use in this matchup, and certainly in the right matchup, he is a guy you can get away with for sure until Thomas returns. For the Chiefs, again, Darrell Williams, we mentioned, comes up huge. Just 21 for 62 on the ground, but he does score twice, 3 for 27 through the air. Real simple, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire on IR, he's just locked into your lineup as an RB2, right?
He is, for sure. And the one wild card was how much they were going to give Jerick McKinnon, and it turned out to be not a lot.
Correct. Almost nothing, basically, which is great. And again, they trust him. They were giving him goal line work, and he was cutting into CEH's snaps anyway. So certainly good to see sort of what we hoped would happen actually happen. Meanwhile, Patrick Mahomes, he throws two picks, but also two touchdown passes, 397 yards. Both Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, they battle injuries a little bit here. Tyreek Hill with the quad again that he was out, then back in. Travis Kelce at the end of the game looked like an arm injury, but they both come through again. Kelce, 11 targets, 8 catches, 99 yards. Tyreek Hill, 12 targets, 9 catches, 76 yards, and the score. Mecole Hardman has 4 catches for 62 yards, but he loses a fumble. Anything here from the Chiefs, or just business as usual, start the big guys and ignore everybody else?
Yeah, give one of the blame, one of the interceptions. The blame has to go to Tyreek Hill for the second straight week. Has a ball squirt right through his hands and to a defender. Hardman has lost the fumble, but 13 catches the last 2 weeks, only 138 yards. But it's interesting that we saw nothing of Josh Gordon today, like just a complete non-factor, no targets. So Hardman's getting a little bit more interesting. He does seem to be asserting himself as the steady wide receiver too. But then again, Mahomes just kind of throws to whoever's open. DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle, you know, backup tight ends, whoever it may be. And, you know, I don't know if there's going to be enough for anyone besides Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce to be dependable, but we're seeing signs of life from Hardman. I mean, he might eventually become someone we can trust.
Yeah, he's certainly more intriguing now than he was earlier in the year. And also, I will say that he has sort of the rare kind of insurance policy for a wide receiver, right? Where it's like, if something were to happen to Tyreek Hill, and again, he is now battling this injury, which he's clearly playing through, then Hardman becomes someone of value. And by the way, fantasy managers, say it every year, I root for Josh Gordon to succeed. I hope for the best for him. I hope he winds up having a very productive NFL career going forward, but you should not be rostering Josh Gordon in fantasy leagues right now. Like, it's not happening. So move on from him if you are trying to stash him. Let's go to the next game. Vikings 34, Panthers 28 in overtime. The Vikings did whatever they could to give this game away, but the Panthers just could not fully take it. Dalvin Cook, though, 29 for 140 on the ground with a touchdown, 2 catches for 3 yards. Great to see him be able to play and play extremely well here. Justin Jefferson, 14 targets, 8 catches, 80 yards. He did lose a fumble, so not the best. Kirk Cousins, we already mentioned. Talk about Adam Thielen, though, here. 13 targets, 11 catches, 126 yards, and the touchdown. He was involved right from the get-go, all game long, just 11 catches combined over the last 3 games. He was sort of looking more like that touchdown dependent wide receiver that we were all a little bit fading, and then he comes up with this game. So what do you think about Thielen going forward?
I'm gonna have to reverse the fade because I faded him hard this week, and I even benched him in one league. That's probably gonna cost me a win. So yeah, he did look fantastic today. I think we have to keep rolling with him, and there are going to be weeks when he loses out to Justin Jefferson. And we know Jefferson is the superior player at this point, made some incredible catches again today. But yes, Thielen is a really good number two. I think we just keep him in our lineups and know that we're going to get the occasional 4 or 5 target game that's going to annoy us. But for the most part, I think he's like solid back end wide receiver too.
Yep, I agree. I mean, and I was pretty low on him. I still had him ranked, I think, inside my top 30, but I was definitely low on him this week. But I agree. Look, I'm just going to roll him out there now everywhere I have him. And yeah, I think you don't really think about it too much. KJ Osborne does score a touchdown, 78 yards, but obviously inconsistent. Tyler Conklin, 3 catches, 71 yards. Let's go to Carolina because you mentioned Sam Darnold. You seem a little more optimistic on him than I did. I mean, 17 for 41 yards. For 207 yards with a touchdown and a pick. He does add the 48 yards rushing, but he also loses a fumble. So, I mean, I guess, look, we can talk about him, but realistically, you just view him as a streamer in the right matchup at this point going forward, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
But it was such a drop fest for Carolina today. And Robbie Anderson was just absolutely terrible. If he hadn't caught that touchdown pass at the end, I mean, he might have, I'm not sure the Panthers fans wouldn't have like booed him out of the stadium. He was just so bad. I think between DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, and DJ Moore had like at least one pretty bad drop himself.
Oh yes.
24 combined targets for those two guys, 8 catches, a 33% catch rates. I mean, it was pretty hideous today, and Darnold's receivers did not do him any favors.
Yeah, I mean, Anderson's, you know, again, you like the targets right now for Anderson, right? Like, suddenly they're up. The production's just not there. The targets are enough to keep me interested, of course. So I'm probably, like, I'm not advocating you have to pick him up if he's out there on your waiver wire, but I'm more intrigued now than I was. Just a bad game, you mentioned it, for DJ Moore, who, again, I mean, at least he caught 5 for 73. He had 13 targets. He did lose the fumble, so, but it's not like an absolute killer, thankfully. And again, part of it was the fact that they were coming back there at the end. Chuba Hubbard, as we mentioned, does come through, not a smash game or anything, but 16 for 61 on the ground with the touchdown, plus a catch for 4 yards. So again, Christian McCaffrey now on IR, unfortunately, so out for at least 2 more games, or 2 more weeks. So hopefully that Hubbard can continue to at least be the quasi-reliable guy that we have come to know and love. What was not reliable were the Chargers against Baltimore. Ravens 34, Chargers 6. I did not see it coming, Pat. I thought that Chargers were the right side from a betting angle in this game. It was just terrible. Your leading pass catcher for the Chargers had 50 yards, and it was Keenan Allen. Your leading rusher had 12 yards, and it was Justin Herbert. Mike Williams had 27 yards receiving. Austin Eckler had 55 total yards. Herbert threw for 195 yards. This comes on the heels of a giant game against Cleveland. 1 touchdown, it goes to Jared Cook. Do we just write this entire game off as a bad day at the office, Pat?
West Coast team travels east for an early start, has just a completely forgettable game. Burn the film, move on if you're a member of the Chargers.
I agree. I'm completely throwing it out, as I am the tape of me saying, you know, I kind of like the Chargers getting, with the third. But I will say that Mike Williams, again, he sat out at the end of this game. It seemed precautionary. I know he was a little, he was obviously banged up coming in. He got banged up a little bit in the game. It didn't seem serious. It seemed like they were just kind of making sure in a game that they were obviously losing, that they weren't going to necessarily waste him in here. And again, they do have a bye week now coming up, so you can at least rest assured that he should probably take a breather and get healthy. For Baltimore, again, not the most exciting day here, Pat, from a fantasy standpoint, even though they scored all the points, because it's all just the running back. So Tavius Murray, 9 for 44 on the ground with a touchdown. Now, he left with an injury. Sounds like it's not going to be all that serious here going forward. But Devonta Freeman scores, 9 for 53 on the ground. Le'Veon Bell scores, 8 for 18 with a touchdown. Again, you can do whatever you want against the Chargers on the ground. So that's just what Baltimore did, and I guess that's what it is. And again, Tyson Williams, inactive in this game. Stop rostering Tyson Williams, as much as I want to make him a thing. There's no need to anymore. Lamar Jackson, just 167 yards passing. He does throw 2 picks. He has the 1 touchdown to Mark Andrews, 6 targets, 5 catches, 68 yards. Nobody else really does anything. Hollywood Brown, 4 for 35. Rashad Bateman, 4 for 29. I don't know. What you want to say anything here, Pat? I mean, it seems like they were just ahead the entire game. They could attack the Chargers on the ground, and that's what they did.
Yeah, they got the run-friendly game script, so I'm not too worried about Hollywood Brown's 5-target game, although Rashad Bateman out-targets him in his first game back. And, Bateman didn't have the best game himself. He turned those targets into 6 targets into, 29 yards?
Yeah, 4 for 29.
He had a ball go off his hands straight to a defender for an interception. That was bad. So good to see him involved, though. And you do wonder if he's going to cut into Hollywood Brown's value a little bit going forward. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Bateman is a guy a lot of people like coming out of college, with good reason, like really no flaws in his game whatsoever. Very well-rounded receiver, can play inside and out. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it definitely concerns me a little bit if I am someone who has Hollywood Brown on my team.
Yeah, I'm not drawing any conclusions yet from this very weird game, but I admit I've basically been discounting Rashad Bateman entirely, because I was like, he missed basically all of camp, didn't play in the preseason games. He's coming back after a lengthy injury, right? He's been off for a while. I can't expect him to come in here and have a meaningful role, but he did in this first game. So whether or not that's going to continue going forward, it's at least something I'm keeping my eye on as somebody who has been pretty high on Hollywood Brown going forward. Cardinals 37, Browns 14. So for the Browns, it's just totally disastrous in this game. No Nick Chubb, so it's all Kareem Hunt. but it's not great because he's got 14 for 66 on the ground, 3 for 12 through the air, and then he leaves with what looks like a bad calf injury. It sounds like that's what they're calling it, although some people are speculating it could be an Achilles. They have a Thursday night game coming up, so there is no chance that you are going to that he's going to be ready to go. Hopefully Chubb is ready to go, but it doesn't sound like that's necessarily. So we'll see about what to do with the running backs. We don't have to get too much into it because, again, we have our waiver wire show on Monday, so we will certainly talk about the Browns running backs. But let's talk a little bit about what maybe we might see here going forward, because Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. leave with shoulder injuries, both return. Mayfield redislocated his shoulder, played through it. He had his arm in a sling after the game. 19 for 28 for 234 yards and 2 touchdowns. Doesn't play that terribly. And Beckham, when he comes back, 8 targets, 5 catches, 79 yards. So I guess just generally, we've already mentioned Donovan Peoples-Jones. What's your opinion or what are your thoughts here on this Cleveland passing game going forward?
Oh, man, I don't know if there's anyone you're going to be able to start for the Browns this coming week against a pretty good Denver D that might have a pretty bad taste in their mouths after what happened to them today. We'll get to that in a second. But and a team that has an embarrassment of riches at running back, maybe two of the five most talented running backs in the league on one roster. And they're going to be playing D'Ernest Johnson and Dimitric Felton
right
this week, and might not have Beckham. So their top receivers might be, you know, DPJ and Rashard Higgins. Oh man. It's like the Browns and the Giants. What have their fans done to, irritate the man upstairs? I don't know.
The thing is that the Browns, to me, have been an incredibly impressive team this entire year, right? Like, even their losses, they could have won. They could have been 5-0 coming into this game. I expected them to win this game. And by the way, we haven't even mentioned the fact that their offensive line is completely decimated as well with injuries. It's just a disaster right now. And again, we'll have to see what's going on, but I'm not expecting Chubb to play right now. There's no way Hunt's going to play. It's just Baker Mayfield's going to try to play through this. Who knows about Odell Beckham Jr.? It's not really even from a fantasy standpoint, because other than the running backs, you're not relying on these guys. And again, we'll talk about what we might see from the waiver wire guys on the waiver wire show. But in the meantime, it's unfortunate. It is not as unfortunate as, it's not unfortunate for the Cardinals, who looked great. Again, I mean, Kyler Murray, you know, he's got the shoulder. Who knows? They're going to regress. 229 yards passing, fine, but 4 passing touchdowns, 1 to AJ Green, 5 for 79 for him, 1 to Christian Kirk, 5 for 75 for him, 2 to DeAndre Hopkins, only 3 catches, only 4 targets, but 55 yards. Rondell Moore, meanwhile, the odd man out here, 4 targets, 3 catches, 16 yards through the air, 3 carries, 10 yards on the ground. So which Cardinals wide receiver, Pat? We usually say, I think it's just Hopkins, but which Cardinals wide receiver do you feel we can start going forward?
Boy, that's a good question, Dan. I'm not sure I feel confident about anyone but Hopkins. Kirk has maybe been the second best. The one thing I'll say about Rondale, though, I was a little worried about Rondale with Cliff Kingsbury not being there today. Mm-hmm. It just seems like if Cliff is there calling the plays, like he's a little more aggressive in getting Rondale the ball. And I was wondering if, you know, and certainly as far as the game plan, like they probably had most of the hay in the barn before Kingsbury was out and knew what they wanted to do. But when you're actually, you know, dialing up the plays, I don't know. I just felt like maybe Rondale was hurt by that a little bit this week. So not too worried about him. I think he's still like kind of a flex option type of guy. I think all these guys are kind of flex worthy. I don't really trust AJ Green anymore, nope. Even though he got the touchdown today. Kirk and Rondale are kind of on the border of being trustworthy. And you know, even Hopkins is just sort of hurt by the spread of the targets and just not getting those double digit target games anymore. So it's concerning, but you know, he's just so good that he's still going to overcome it and be a very valuable player, but yeah, not as valuable as he could be.
Yeah. I certainly am less excited about DeAndre Hopkins now than I was at the beginning of the season. Me personally, I mean, we're in bye week, you know, craziness right now. So you can start any of them, but I don't really feel comfortable starting anybody else sort of. And that's what you're alluding to as well. One, at least one, maybe more than one is going to have a good game in any given game because Kyler Murray is exceptional and their team is great. Their offense is lightning, but I don't know which one it's going to be. And I'm just going to sit it out for the most part if I can and roster the guys for bye weeks. And that's pretty much it. With the running backs, James Conner, 16 for 71. Again, they were ahead most of the game. Chase Edmonds, again, you know, not much work here. 4 for 46 on the ground, 1 big run early on, nothing else really. Then 4 targets, 3 catches, just 4 yards through the air. Are you concerned here about Chase Edmonds?
No, because he had, a shoulder injury coming in, and I think this was an opportunity for the Cardinals to kind of go easy on him with the game pretty much under control for most of it. I mean, they didn't have to sweat this one out at all, jumping out to the big lead, and just seems like they took the opportunity to give him a little bit of rest.
Okay, good enough for me. Raiders 34, Broncos 24. Melvin Gordon, 11 for 53 on the ground. 3 targets, 3 catches, 23 yards through the air. Javonte Williams, 10 for 50 on the ground. 3 targets, 3 catches, 15 yards through the air. Everybody wants Javonte Williams, and from a fantasy perspective, to sort of like be this guy. But I mean, Melvin Gordon is productive, continues to be productive. This seems like, again, no reason to change from the absolute pure timeshare that we're seeing, right?
Yep. I'm a broken record saying it every week, but it's a 50-50 and pretty much will be the entire season unless someone gets hurt.
That's exactly right. And we talked about this a lot in draft season, not with you, Pat, because you weren't on the podcast yet, but we talked about it a lot where I just said, you know, I'm excited about Javonte Williams. Like, it's great, but it is very difficult for a rookie to overtake an established back like Gordon, who, by the way, it's not like Gordon is in this horrible decline or anything like that. Like, he's still extremely productive. It is really difficult for a rookie to just overtake a guy like that without an injury. And that's exactly what we're seeing. And I agree, that's exactly what we're going to see. Meanwhile, Teddy Bridgewater, 334 yards and 3 touchdowns with 3 picks. Noah Fant catches one. He gets 11 targets, 9 catches, 97 yards. Cortland Sutton gets one, 14 targets, 8 catches, 94 yards. Tim Patrick, always forgotten, just 6 targets, just 3 catches, but 47 yards and a touchdown. This is obviously a game where they were throwing a bit more than they usually like to necessarily because they were behind for most of the game, but not sure, Pat, whether or not you see a big takeaway here from a receiving side.
No, Sutton's the guy you play every week. Patrick is the steady guy who gets 5 to 6 targets, and you know, you play him if you have to. I don't think you're eager to play him, but usable if you must. And it's good to see Fant being more consistent lately. So nice to see him involved again. But yeah, Bridgewater was pretty bad in this one. And who would have thought the Raiders, after what they've been through this past week, coming out and just drilling the Broncos in Denver?
You know, we talked about it on the Betting Pro Show, which is people were like, well, with Gruden, you know, but I was like, we have absolutely no idea what the impact is going to be of the Gruden thing. Like, we have, maybe they're going to be liberated and they're going to feel like finally they don't have this cloud hanging over them and they're going to just play like you love to play football and have fun with it and go crazy. We had no idea what it was going to be. And boy, they came out and they looked dynamite throughout that entire game, especially defensively. And they're tough on wide receivers, we know. But for the most part, every time I was watching that game, it looked like Bridgewater was just horribly looking downfield with his feet tapping, trying desperately to find someone before he just ran and tried to buy time. So yeah, great game from the Raiders. And offensively, we talked about Drake, but Josh Jacobs, 16 for 53 on the ground. Plus he gets the touchdown. He also adds a 29-yard reception. Derek Carr throws for 341 yards and 2 touchdowns. One of these goes to Henry Ruggs here. 4 targets, 3 catches, 97 yards, and a touchdown. Hunter Renfro, just 36 yards here. Do you feel comfortable starting either of these wide receivers going forward?
I don't know about comfortable, but I think they are playable. It's amazing what Ruggs is able to do with his targets when his average depth of target is around 20 yards. And normally the hit rate on those, I mean, it's certainly leaves you open to erratic performances because you're not going to get a high completion percentage when your average depth of target is 20 yards, but he's being surprisingly efficient for those, you know, that sort of usage and is turning in more usable games than not. So I think he is a guy you can at least consider for your starting lineup every week. This was probably Renfro's worst game of the season. He's been really steady.
Yeah.
And as a PPR receiver, like he's startable, I think, at least like wide receiver 3 flex worthy. So yeah, I mean, both of these guys are definitely playable.
Yeah. I mean, the Broncos are very good against slot wide receivers, of course. So, you know, you knew that could be something, but yeah, Ruggs, I'd love to see them give him more short area targets and let him use his legs. But I tell you what, you want to target him down the field all day. If he's going to come up with them like he is right now, I can live with it for sure. I've been impressed by him for sure. Darren Waller, meanwhile, 5 targets, 5 catches, 59 yards. You want to see more targets. Fantasy managers are really upset about that. I mean, just take what you get here from a tight end. He will have better days. Last game, Cowboys 35, Patriots 29 in overtime. Great game to watch. Dak Prescott 36 for 51 for 445 yards and three touchdowns, but he did suffer some sort of calf injury on the final play. I don't know if everybody saw that. If you're just listening to this now, if you didn't see it, he did suffer some sort of calf injury. Don't know the severity of it just yet, so we'll have to wait and see. He played fantastically. But again, let's see now. They are not, they are one of the teams, thankfully, on a bye, pardon me, coming up this week. So he's got an extra week, but let's monitor that going forward. Finally, CeeDee Lamb really gets going here. 11 targets, 9 catches, 149 yards with the touchdowns. Amari Cooper, again, just 8 targets, 5 catches, 55 yards. Dalton Schultz, 6 targets, 5 catches, 79 yards. Just continues to be a mainstay here as a tight end. So what are your thoughts, just generally speaking, on the receiving group?
I think we have to be a little concerned about Amari Cooper, and maybe this is the new reality for him with Lamb, like the star of this receiving core now. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lamb is just a special player, and with Dalton Schultz stepping up, there just are not enough targets to go around for Cooper. Even in a game where we saw the passing volume ramped up a little bit for Dallas, it had been sort of low in recent weeks, and maybe that could explain some of these 6 target games for Amari Cooper. But yeah, now I just think he's sort of a secondary option in this offense.
Yeah, and there's room for a secondary option. But again, we do have Michael Gallup is going to come back as well. So there's going to be further eating into it. But I do want to see what happens with Cooper off a bye as he continues to get healthier, because he has been banged up a little bit, right? He's been battling the ribs and stuff like that. But I agree, it is certainly CeeDee Lamb. And this is great, where fantasy managers have been frustrated, you know, for a couple of weeks back then about CeeDee Lamb. He's a superstar. Zeke, meanwhile, 119 total yards. Pollard, 63 total yards. Zeke was a little, you saw him fighting a little bit. Every once in a while, he'd be taken out. He was clearly, you know, maybe it was the ribs or whatever. But I'm not sure there's really anything to talk about. Zeke's a stud. You leave him in your lineup, of course. And Pollard is a viable flex, probably play most weeks, right?
Yes, yes.
Good enough for me. For the Pats, come on, Jacoby Meyer. I mean, that was the touchdown. We finally had it. I was so excited for the guy. I was excited for Will, for his fantasy team, but unfortunately doesn't. Still has his customary 5 catches for 44 yards. It is Bourne who winds up with that 75-yard touchdown, which was like the most exciting 3 minutes in the game for sure. Meanwhile, Damian Harris, 18 for 101 yards and a score on the ground. Ramondre Stevenson does factor in here, 5 for 23 on the ground with the touchdown, all 3 of his catches for 39 yards. Do we expect Harris to continue to dominate this backfield, or do we think Stevenson's going to start cutting in a little more going forward?
No, it would be nice if Stevenson started cutting into the Brandon Bolden usage, because Bolden is just really meant to be a special teamer and should not have a meaningful role in this offense. And it was nice that they actually sort of had these designed passes for Stevenson, and he looked pretty good. But Harris is the main man here. I sensed a little concern about him this week from a lot of fantasy managers, but he looked good. I think he's a quality back and a solid running back too. So Stevenson is certainly someone worth consideration in waiver leagues, and maybe as the handcuff to Harris for, you know, the people who have Harris on their roster should maybe think about adding Stevenson.
Last one, Hunter Henry. I mean, not an active game here, just 2 targets, catches both of them, 25 yards, does get the touchdown. Is he a guy who you think can be considered a borderline tight end one going forward?
I kind of think that's where he is, Dan, borderline of tight end one, tight end two, like right in that low teens, 13, 14, that sort of area. I don't think you'd feel bad if he's your tight end, I guess, but maybe you do. Actually, you're probably looking for an upgrade if he's your starting tight end.
I don't think you feel bad if he's your tight end, I guess. I think it's the adequate way to explain him, certainly going forward. I think he's probably more what we hoped Jonnu Smith was going to be, but it's not. I agree. You can basically start him most weeks and get away with it, is the way Yates and I like to sort of say. I think there's probably 16 guys that you can realistically get away with almost every week and not have to worry about it crazy. And then there's that group of guys where now Dalton Schultz, I think, is in there, and Dawson Knox is in there, where you're like, okay, I feel very good about where I'm at the tight end position. Everybody else is, you can get away with it. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you to Prize Picks. Don't forget, use our promo code GRIDIRON. You receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Thank you also to Kraken. Go to kraken.com/fantasypros or search for Kraken in the app. Find out for yourself why it's been one of the highest rated places to buy crypto for the last 10 years. We will be back, as we always are, with our Waiver Wire show on Monday. We'll talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.